The Education Gadfly Show starts now. Hello, this is your host, Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Foundation, here with my no-nonsense guest co-host, always fighting the good fight, Sarah Mead. Welcome, Sarah.
Hey, Mike. It's good to be back.
Well, it's good to have you back. I know, Sarah, the last time you were here, I do feel bad. I feel like we did not treat you with the utmost respect. Although, let's be honest, Rick did not treat you with the utmost respect.
Well, you know, a few people have mentioned that to me. It actually didn't bother me that much. I don't get called tasty every day, and you know, Rick Hess wouldn't be my first choice for somebody to refer to me that way. But I think Rick, in his own way, was trying to be flattering, which is kind of strange. But anyway, so I'm fine with it, and it's good to be back here.
All right. So then, the real question then, Sarah, is: do you think that Rick Hess is tasty?
No.
Okay. Oh yes. Well, listeners, there you have it. Rick thinks Sarah is tasty, but Sarah does not agree. And you know what? I think we should take a listener poll and see if people would agree with that. So we'll give you details on that later in the show. Well, Sarah, it is good to have you back. You know, I did feel bad. We may have made you feel, you know, a little uncomfortable here on this set the last time you were here. So we really went out of our way this week to put you at ease. You know, we've got some dimmer switches installed in the studio. Liam brought in some incense sticks from home, and he also ordered a few scented candles from Bath and Beyond. So we have a really nice aura going on here. And I believe I hear Jen's Cape Cod Morning CD playing in the background.
Yeah, I'm very comfortable.
Good. Okay, well.
Is that a puffin?
I think we are hearing a puffin in the background, Liam. That's interesting. Although I don't think there are puffins on the Cape, but we'll have to maybe take a field trip there and find that out. Liam, are puffins your favorite bird?
By far.
Okay, good. Well, if you love puffins, shoot us a line at letters@edexcellence.net. Let us know how you're doing and that you're listening. We would love to hear from you. Okay, Sarah, are we ready for our show today?
Sure.
Okay, we are going to start with a game of Pardon the Gadfly, which of course is where we have three topics we debate for 90 seconds each. We then have an interview with the original Education Gadfly himself, Checker Finn, and he's going to talk about education in his home state of Ohio. Finally, our weird correspondent Liam will serve up a dose of education news of the weird. So let's play Pardon the Gadfly. Sarah, for
Florida Governor Jeb Bush and New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg had an op-ed in the Washington Post on Sunday in which they offered up some suggestions for the reauthorization of NCLB. They write that NAEP should become an official benchmark for evaluating state standards. What do they mean by this? Is it a good idea? Or should we go whole hog into national standards, Mike? I bet I know what you're going to say.
Oh, well, Sarah, you sure do. But let me say, first of all, your delivery was excellent. I mean, let's face it, much better than Rick's.
Well, that's because I'm an actress.
Ah, well, there you go. Well, you know, what's interesting about this op-ed is I think that Jeb and Mayor Bloomberg came very close to calling for national standards and tests. They, of course, couldn't quite do it. They talked in their op-ed a little bit about respect for the sovereignty of states, but you could almost tell that they wanted to just come right out and call for national standards and tests, which is, of course, what we need to stop this race to the bottom that we've got here. But I have to say, I have no idea what they're talking about using NAEP as a benchmark. Do you?
Well, not exactly. I've heard other people talk about it before. I know that it was one of the topics of conversation with the original NCLB passage. Some people talked about how doing the annual NAEP, which started with NCLB, would be a benchmark. It seems like a sort of weirdly Rube Goldbergian type approach to me, and I don't understand what the mechanism people think would actually work is.
Right. I mean, don't we already, you know, I mean, even since No Child Left Behind, now that every state is taking NAEP, you know, analysts like Rick and Paul Peterson have been able to show people the difference between NAEP scores and state scores and kind of rank states by, you know, how high their standards are. We've done some analysis looking at change over time on the NAEP. So, I mean, it's just not clear to me what else we could do along those lines with NAEP, unless maybe having the federal government do some of these studies and therefore get more attention for it.
Sure. I mean, I guess that what they were hinting at, even though I can't begin to understand what they were talking about, was some kind of coercive accountability related to NAEP as opposed to just the informational function that it serves.
Right.
Oh, yes, we're done with this topic.
You are done. You are cut off by the buzzer.
Ooh.
Got to get used to that here on Pardon the Gadfly. Okay, very good, very good, very good. Well, topic number two. There has been a lot of debate, of course, over the shape of Los Angeles's proposed mayoral control in education, and especially the proposal that each school's teachers get control over their own curriculum. Now, are Los Angeles and other big districts better off with one curriculum and a managed instruction system, a system where there's, again, one curriculum that's really kind of forced on them from above, but with a lot of support? Or is this really antithetical to the charter school idea that many of us believe in, that we should let schools do whatever works and, you know, have accountability in return for flexibility? What do you think?
Well, I think that I actually had an interesting conversation a while ago with Michael Barber. I interviewed him for Education Sector last December, and I asked him about that because I'd been in England for a week, and, you know, they have this very solid national curriculum, but they're also trying to encourage a lot of innovation. They have the foundation schools that are kind of like charter schools here. The schools actually have a lot more autonomy than a lot of district schools do here, and they have this great diversity. They have religious schools and everything else. Okay. And I asked him about that and how does that work, and his answer was that it's not really a tension, that you need both those things to go together. And it's partly along the line of the, you know, the tight loose idea that if we're tight about what everybody needs to know, we can be loose about how they do it. And I think when we talk about curriculum, you know, we can go from curriculum in terms of specific things kids need to know to curriculum in terms of are they learning it through Open Court or Success for All or whatever. I think those are two different questions.
Okay, sure. But, you know, I feel like our friends at Education Trust, for example, would argue that, look, you know, when you look at big city districts that have made a lot of progress, they have one reading curriculum, one math curriculum for the whole district. They make everybody do it. They got a lot of support around it. You know, this is very different than the idea of a portfolio of schools where they're all doing their own thing, you know, although, of course, held accountable to the same standards. So, I mean, you know, do we have a schism here in the school reform movement?
I think there is a tension of it, and I think a lot of it has to do with the mobility issue with a lot of low-income kids in urban areas. I think that's one of the big justifications that a lot of people use for doing the more centralized curriculum. But I think... I can't finish. This is frustrating.
Sarah, you're so obedient to the buzzer. That's very impressive.
Well, I think that part of the issue, though, is that if you had more choice in a portfolio model, you could actually keep kids in the same schools and address some of the mobility problems in a place like D.C.
Good. Yeah. I do have to say, did Michael Barber, was his argument more convincing because of his British accent?
No, he's pretty soft-spoken, so, yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Oh, Jen is not happy with
Jen
us
wants
now.
Us to keep moving. Yeah. Understood. Okay, fine. Our final topic, Sarah. Here we go. Now, building on a news and analysis feature that's in this week's written Education Gadfly, the question is this. Is it possible for public schools to teach religion, including theology, and do it well and legally? And is it a good idea? What do you think, Sarah?
Well, I thought it was really funny reading, I think it's Marty's piece, right? Because Andy Rotherham at Education Sector and one of our senior fellows, Donna Freitas, wrote a piece about 2 years ago making pretty similar arguments. I mean, it was a little bit different in terms of the focus because of what was going on in the world at that time, but also making the argument, you know.
So the Fordham Foundation is always 2 years behind the curve. We understand.
Oh, absolutely right.
In fact, yeah. I understand some people pushed for national standards and tests back in the 1990s.
I think that did happen.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. So,
But yeah, I mean, and I think that there's a lot of agreement among people. I mean, the Clinton administration wrote some stuff about this in 1995 and 1998 about the schools can teach kids about religion. That's not the same thing as teaching them religion in that sense. And that kids do need to know some of this stuff for history, to appreciate literature, things like that.
Right. No, and I agree. And of course, we should be teaching students about religion in their world history courses and other courses. But boy, is it tough. I can imagine teachers out there listening, thinking, how am I going to do this without tripping over all kinds of wires? What Marty argues in his piece, in fact, is it's not enough even to kind of teach religion generically. To do it right, you really got to get in there and explain the theological differences between Protestantism and Catholicism and between different sects within Islam. And that gets to be very difficult. You get really treading on some sensitive places. But if you don't get into the details of religion, you're not going to help students understand many of the conflicts today, many of the big ideas that have been around for hundreds of years.
Sure. I mean, just having kids, you know, spin dreidels every year when you learn about Hanukkah isn't going to help with that. I think I think actually the opposite of what you're arguing in terms of, I think getting into the details of theology and the debates can actually help because it makes it more clear that there are differences of opinion and we're not teaching one right idea or endorsing one view.
Okay, very good, Sarah. Well, that is it for Pardon the Gadfly. Very, very nice playing, Sarah. Very nice playing. Well, now we turn to our interview this week, chatting with Fordham President Checker Finn, again, about his home state in Ohio. I don't know if people know this, but Checker grew up in Dayton, Ohio, and he went to public elementary schools in the Dayton Public Schools, of course, before heading off to Exeter and Harvard.
I just can't imagine a little Checker.
Well, it is.
I just imagine like Checker shrunk down, like wearing like little those knee breeches and suspenders.
Lederhosen. Is that what you're looking
for? Yes.
Yes. Yes. Well, we will try to find some pictures to see if that was in fact the case. Okay, let's go ahead and have a listen to this interview with Checker Finn. Checker, welcome back to the Education Gadfly Show.
It's always a pleasure.
You're looking good. Having
feeling
a nice
fine.
Summer.
Great
yes.
summer. Good. Great time. Great granddaughter. Great everything.
Good, good, good. So spending lots of time with Emma, is that right?
As much as possible. 2 weeks of full-time Emma. She's 2.5. She's the cutest 2.5-year-old on the planet.
Okay, you heard it here first. All right, well, Checker, today we're going to talk about test scores in Ohio. As many of our listeners know, Ohio for a long time has been a bit of a policy lab for the Fordham Foundation. That is where Thomas B. Fordham is from. We have an office in Dayton and some activity in Columbus. And like a lot of the states right now, Ohio came out with its latest school ratings, including its latest No Child Left Behind ratings, just this week. Now, the headline, as far as I could tell, was that using a new school rating system, Ohio schools are making great progress. Something like 97% of the schools in the state showed gains.
It's hard to know whether that's progress or a new rating system or both. It's really hard to make defensible comparisons with earlier years under the Ohio rating system because this one is so new. It has different factors counted in, and it has a value-added or growth model built into the test score interpretation. So there is no doubt that the schools, charter, and district look a lot better this year than they did last year, but it's less clear that they're actually doing better.
Okay, and it's important to point out that on the No Child Left Behind ratings, which of course do not yet in Ohio look at growth, but look at how many students are getting to proficiency and look at achievement gaps, Ohio schools aren't doing any better.
Ohio's got a long way to go, charter and district alike and statewide on NCLB, on adequate yearly progress. I think, incidentally, I'm really glad Ohio's added a growth model, a value-added component. Every state should do this. So I'm not criticizing the state for having put into place a new rating system. I'm just saying it's hard to know whether the schools are actually doing better. We'll know a lot more next year when the new rating system, unless they tinker with it again, will have its second outing.
Okay. Now, it all comes down to the details, though, right, Checker? I mean, how do we, you know, not all growth models are the same. If you have a model that says, okay, you're a middle school and you take students from the second grade level to the third grade level over the course of the year, so you're doing great, and that's not what we want, right?
That's why a growth model isn't all by itself isn't sufficient. We want to know about the value that a school adds to a kid or its kids, but we also want to know how they're doing on absolute standards. And the only kind of rating system that I'm totally satisfied with is one that does both, that judges kids against absolute standards, as NCLB does, but also shows you how much gain they've made over the course of a year.
Okay. Now, charter school scores came out. It looked better than they did last year in Ohio.
A whole lot fewer charter schools are in the doghouse in Ohio than was true last year. Again, I hope it's because the kids are learning more, but in any case, it's because they did better on the rating system.
Okay, good. Now, at the national level, though, we hear rumors that next week is going to be the big release of the new NCES study on charter school achievement versus traditional public school achievement, a similar study as to the one last month on private school achievement. What do you think it's going to show, and what can charter supporters do to prepare for it?
Well, it's going to lead to headlines, mostly perpetrated by critics and enemies of charter schools, saying charter schools are doing badly compared to district schools. The fact of the matter is these are snapshot data, one-time data, taken from the national assessment, and they do show a comparison of current performance, but they show absolutely nothing about school effectiveness.
Right. Okay. And so once again, though, charter supporters are going to be on the defensive.
Deep defensive. The enemies of charter schools are going to have a field day. They will claim this is proof that charter schools aren't working. The fact of the matter is it proves nothing of the sort. But yeah, it's going to be another bum day for charter supporters.
Okay. More happy news from Checker Finn. Checker, thanks for joining us, and I hope you'll come on back.
And cheer you up again. Happy to do so.
Okay. Very interesting. Sarah, Do you have a favorite checker fin memory?
Oddly enough, Mike, I do.
Oh, well, would you like to share it with our listeners?
Sure. A couple of years ago, when I was still at the Progressive Policy Institute, we had a conference with a bunch of people from the charter school community in Charlottesville, Virginia, a beautiful Boar's Head Inn down there, very nice place. Checker was one of the people who came, and you know, we're sitting there all morning debating these weighty issues about charter schools and accountability and quality. We get to the end, and we're talking about, you know, broader themes and where to go next, and Checker stands up, and it's something along the lines of, well, NCLB is the big gorilla in the room, and charter schools are just a little monkey. And so every time, like, I think of something like this is the big deal and this is the little deal, I always am like, this is just a little monkey. And so I have Checker to thank for that.
That's very good. I like that. I hadn't heard that one. Charter schools are the monkey on the back of the school districts. We'll have to use that. I think you might see that in an upcoming Gadfly editorial.
Ah, glad to be helpful there.
Good. Yeah. Okay, Sarah. Well, it is now time for everybody's favorite education news of the weird with our weird correspondent, Liam Julian. Liam, I've been meaning to ask you today. I've seen you around the office, and I have to say, what is up with that nose ring? I mean, it looks ridiculous.
Actually, Mike, that's pretty insensitive. And if you were a Hartford, Connecticut school teacher, your comments would be, quote, wholly unprofessional, inappropriate, and unacceptable, unquote. Just like the comments of Robert Williams, a 22-year veteran of the Hartford school system, who was recently suspended without pay for insulting the appearance of one of his students, 13-year-old Jose Velez. Velez, who has a pierced eyebrow and loves mixed metaphors, said of his teacher's suspension, quote, to me, it's just a slap in the hand. But maybe not. In addition to his 30 days without pay, Williams will also have to undergo diversity and sensitivity training. But this isn't the first time Williams has run into trouble. There have been several instances besides the eyebrow-piercing degradation. In March 2006, Williams was reprimanded for, quote, inappropriate and unprofessional behavior, unquote. According to the Hartford Courant, which is either a newspaper or a raisin, quote, as teachers were gathered in a room preparing for the Connecticut Mastery Test, Williams persisted in singing the Marine hymn, quote, in a boisterous manner, unquote, even after the assistant principal repeatedly asked him to stop, unquote. Williams has also made disparaging remarks about Puerto Ricans. Sarah, have you ever met a patriotic racist teacher with a penchant for unpunctured eyebrows?
Not to my knowledge, Liam.
How about you, Mike?
You know, first of all, Liam, I congratulate you on finally, once again, finding something that is weird. You know, you had a real dry spell there for a while, and I appreciate that. But, you know, Liam considers himself a real foodie. You know, he really thinks he's an expert. And so it was really necessary to make that raisin joke in there about the Hartford Courant.
Come on.
That's right. The answer, Liam, the correct answer is no, it was not necessary. Okay.
I know what to say.
He's done. He's done. All right. Well, and we are done. That is all the time that we have for this week. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Mike. This has been a blast.
Good. It's been a real pleasure. Well, don't forget to read the original Education Gadfly at edexcellence.net. Till next week.
I'm Sarah Mead.
And I'm Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Forum Foundation, signing off.